Look into the Word of God. Shall we turn to the Gospel by Luke, chapter 5? Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and we want to begin our reading at verse 1, where we read, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great number of multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which were they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our Father, again, having read thy precious word, and now we're going to multiply words upon that which we have read, our earnest desire is that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. The psalmist in Psalm 90, he said, Teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, we don't do that, do we? We number our years. We say to somebody, How old are you? And they say, Well, 39. And some, their age is known. We have to say they're 50. But we don't number our days. We number our years. Yet the psalmist said, Teach us to number our days. Furthermore, in the book of Proverbs, we read, Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. For those who are lost and who aren't saved, this must be very frightening. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If I didn't know the Lord, I'd be afraid to get out of bed in the morning. For I need a shepherd. I need a guide. I need a friend. And that's what I have in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, salvation is more than being rescued from the lake of fire. It means that day by day I have someone with me who's protecting me, who's providing for me, and who's performing his will in us. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, may I ask you a question? How do you live? How do you live? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now Peter, of whom we read tonight, he was a man that our Lord taught to live a day at a time. Now before you can walk with the Lord Jesus a day at a time, you must pass a test. You have to ask yourself a few questions. You have to take inventory. So tonight we want to ask a few questions And we want to ask ourselves questions on what does it mean to live a day at a time. Question number one, how do you respond to disappointment? Peter had to say, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. You see, there's some so-called Christians today who tell us that failure should not be part of the Christian's vocabulary. A Christian who's doing what they should do, you know, if you are faithful in this, and if you tithe, well, everything's going to go all right. You'll never be disappointed. You'll always know success. Well, I have news for you tonight. I've read a lot of Christian biographies. And I've also read my Bible. You see, nobody wants to hear and nobody wants to read about failure. But in the Word of God, I read of men of like passions as we are. And you know, there's something I learned from each of their lives. Every one of them failed. Abraham failed. Joshua failed. David failed more than once in his life. Peter failed. And I read the biographies of certain great men of the faith. They have failed at one time or another. And they were disappointed at one time or another. You see, like Peter, how do you respond to disappointment? It's a good question, you know. Well, let's ask ourselves a question. How did Peter respond? Well, you remember what Peter was doing in the early part of our reading? He was washing his net. In another place we read, he was mending his net. You know why? He was going out to fish some more. Did you ever wonder why our Lord Jesus chose fishermen to be his disciples and become his apostles? Ever think about it? You see, fishermen don't quit. The only fishermen I've ever seen quit were fellows who couldn't fish anymore because they were sick. And if you want to know why I'm grinning, I went with a few fellows from Faith Bible Fellowship out deep sea fishing. And there was one fellow along there who was after everybody. I won't mention his name, but he's a home builder. You see, he got after everybody. And one or two got really sick. And I had never been out before. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. But this one guy, he sort of enjoyed it all. And he came in to me, he said, go in and take a look at Bobby Hamilton. He said, he gets green around here. And I tell you, I looked at Bobby, then I looked at Linwood, and they were both green. And I looked at another fellow, and he was over there eating a hamburger. I won't mention his name. But anyway, our Lord chose fishermen. You know why? They don't quit. Fishermen know how to work. Fishermen know how to work together. Fishermen are patient. They have to be. They're courageous. They have to keep at it to get the work done. And beloved, the work of God is accomplished by people who have learned to plod on amidst disappointments. How do you respond to disappointment? You know, it's fine to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary. But, beloved, the work gets done by those who walk and not faint. That's the people who do the work. Now, Peter could have given up. But he was mending and washing his nets. If that would have been me, I would have had a sign out there, dock sale, a boat, fishing equipment, fishing gear, cheap, come and buy. You see, not Peter. Fishermen don't quit. And Peter was a fisherman. Oh, yes. You know, he could have blamed a lot of circumstances. He could have said, oh, there's so many boats here in the lake. And you know, competition is rough. Or he could have blamed his partners. He said, you know, John, he's always getting angry. But he didn't do that. No, he didn't blame God. He didn't blame the competition. He didn't blame his partners. And you know, it's an amazing thing. Peter was the closest he ever was to the biggest catch of his life. There are two times in the life of Peter that he had a great catch of fish. This is the first one, you see. But he had to wait till the Lord was finished teaching. The Lord was using his boat. Peter was just about an hour away from the greatest catch in his life when he was washing his net in disappointment. Master, we've toiled all night and have caught nothing. How do you respond to disappointment? But you see, there was a second time in Peter's life when he had a great catch of fish. John chapter 21, Peter said, I go a-fishing. And that night they caught nothing. The Lord Jesus on the bank the next morning said, children, have you any meat? Did you catch anything? And they had to admit, no, we haven't caught anything. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Do you know what the distance was between success and failure for Peter? The width of the boat. That's all. Are you discouraged in the Christian life? Do you ever get discouraged? Are you disappointed? Can must you say, Master, we've toiled all night and have caught nothing? The distance between failure and success was the width of a boat. Christian, you never know how close you are to success. Don't quit. Don't quit. Our Lord chose fishermen. Fishermen, don't quit. How do you do with that? How do you respond to disappointment? But there's a second question here in our text. How do you respond to authority? How do you respond to authority? You see, the Lord Jesus got into Peter's boat and he took over. You know, and there are certain people, whenever they come around, they just take over. And a lot of times we don't like that too well. You see, our Lord started giving orders when he got into Peter's boat. He said, thrust out a little from the land. And then he wanted to use it as a pulpit. Then he said, launch out into the deep. Then he said, let down the nets. He gave the orders. For you see, he had to tell the fishermen what to do in order that he would tell the fish what to do. Our Lord was in control. You see, the Lord Jesus comes into our lives with authority. How do we respond to the authority of the Lord? Now, you can reject authority. I'll do my own thing. Well, do it and see what happens. Or you can resist authority. I'll do it, but I do it under protest. Or third, you can submit to authority. Peter said to the Lord, Lord, we've toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. He submitted to authority. Now, there's a basic principle in authority. No one has the right to exercise authority who is not under authority. Let me say that again. No one has the right to exercise authority who is not under authority. Now, God is very clear about this. If I am exercising authority and I'm not under authority, I'm a dictator. I am not a leader. Parents over children, they are under authority to the Lord. Elders over the Lord's people, they are under shepherds. They are under the chief shepherd to whom they must give an account at his appearing. Now, Peter could have a real problem here. with a problem of authority. You know, he could have looked at Jesus and he said, "You're a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? Now, if I need my boat mended, I'll come to you. But when I want to catch fish, I think I know more about it than you do." You see, or he could have a real problem. He could say, "Now, everybody knows that you don't catch fish out in the deep on the Sea of Galilee in daytime. You catch fish on the Sea of Galilee in shallow water at nighttime. Everybody knows that. But you say, launch out into the deep and let down the net. Everything you say is contrary to everything I know, and I'm a fisherman." How do you respond to authority? You see, our experience, friends, could be the greatest obstacle to the biggest blessing that God has for us. Our experience. We've always done it this way, and we don't change. You see, Peter submitted to the authority of the Word of God. Ever read graffiti? You ever read it? You know, you can find some interesting things written on walls. I hate to see it, but sometimes there are some interesting things that cause you to think. There was some graffiti that said, "Humpty Dumpty was pushed." That's quite interesting if you analyze it. And then there's another that says this, "All authority destroys creativity." What do you think of that? Well, it's totally wrong. For the best way to be creative is to put yourself under authority. Can you imagine a person saying, "I'm going to play the piano, but I'm not going to put myself under the authority of any teacher"? That person isn't going to learn to play the piano. You see, when it comes to this matter of authority, it is so important. You see, the best way to be creative is to put yourself under authority. When I listen to the Malcolms play their instruments, they put themselves under authority to learn how to play that well. Now, it's okay to break the rules, friends, once the rules have broken you. And until the rules have broken you, it's wrong to break them. You see, be sure those rules have broken you. Creativity, beloved, is released when you submit to authority. For us, it should be day by day according to your word. How do you respond to disappointment? How do you respond to authority? Question number three. How do you respond to success? How do you respond to success? You see, others were on the shore washing and mending their nets when Peter goes out into the deep water in daytime. And the result was the large catch of fish. The nets begin to break and the boats begin to sink. So the text says, now how you respond to success depends upon how you respond to criticism and failure. How you respond to success depends upon how you respond to criticism and failure. Do you have a rough time with criticism? Now, we all need constructive criticism. But that other kind, how do you respond? Spurgeon got a letter, the great preacher, C.H. Spurgeon got a letter every Monday morning. It was anonymous. He never knew who sent it. And this person wrote down every mistake he made the day before, every grammatical error, every other mistake that Spurgeon made. And Spurgeon said, you know what he said of it? "I don't know who that man was, but I thank God for him. He did me a lot of good." How do you respond to criticism? You see, but then there's abrasive criticism. You know that sanctified critic who has nothing else to do but criticize. Now, how we respond to success depends and determines how we respond to criticism. How did Peter respond to success? Well, he helped his friends. He shared his success. That's the first thing he did. You see, there are some people, when they're successful, they build a fence around their success. This is my territory. No fishing. No fishing here. This is mine. And you see, if success makes you selfish, my friend, God will see to it that you're not successful. He'll see to it that you're not. And you see, Peter humbled himself before the Lord. He fell down at Jesus' feet and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Oh, friends, the success of Peter was contrary to all the experts over on the shore. If that would have been me, I probably would have wanted to start a seminar on how to catch fish. But not Peter. He was humbled by it. He fell at Jesus' feet and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter didn't use this incident to inflate himself. He used it to glorify God. How do you respond to success? You see, friends, if success inflates you, criticism will crush you. If success humbles you, then criticism will build you up. How do you respond to success? You know, we often criticize Peter, but he was a great man. Anyone who can be successful and be humbled by it is a great man. He says, "I'm not worthy, Lord. Why did you choose me? Why did you choose to use my boat?" He's humbled by it. Now, how do we respond to success? Do you look in a mirror and you say, "Boy, people are lucky to know me"? Is that your attitude when you look into a mirror? How do you respond to disappointment or failure? Do you keep on going? How do you respond to authority? Do you obey when you don't understand what's going on? Success. How do you handle it? Has your academic achievement humbled you, or has it made you so big that people can't stand to be around you? The mark of genuine Bible study, friends, is not a big head. It's a burning heart. When Daniel understood the prophetic program of God in the 9th chapter of Daniel, he fasted and prayed. He had a burning heart. Today, when we think we understand God's prophetic program, we write a book and we draw a chart. What a difference. Your knowledge of the coming of the Lord, has it humbled you? Has it made you cry out, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? Has it purified your life? Fourth question. How do you respond to the future? See, it's all in our context here that we read. How do you respond to the future? You say, "Boy, that's a crazy question." No, it's an important question. Are you afraid of the future? Are you afraid of the future? What the future holds? You know, a lot of people are. Do you wish everything was just like it was 20 years ago? Are you one of those persons who would say, "Backward, turn backward, O time, in your flight. Make me a child again just for tonight"? Not me. I don't want to go backward. I want to go forward. I don't want things the way they were 20 years ago. We're moving forward, beloved. We're moving forward. How do you respond to the future? We seem to be on a nostalgic kick many times. We want things the way they were 30 years ago, the way they were 50 years ago, and things have changed. And we have to meet the day as it is, not the way we wish it were. You see, we have people today who are absolutely afraid of the future. They depend on their horoscopes. They want somebody to tell them what tomorrow holds. I'm not interested in anybody who could tell me what tomorrow has in store for me. Joseph Parker wrote those blessed words, God holds the key to all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands, or if he trusted it to me, I would be sad. How wise Joseph Parker was. Now the Lord Jesus got them back on shore. Do you know what's the first thing he said to them? Don't be afraid. Fear not. You have it in verse 10. You see, how do you handle disappointment? How do you handle authority? How do you handle success? He could not turn to Peter and say, I can use you. Follow me. And we read, they forsook all and followed him. Isn't that great? God says, Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And the Greek words there are quite interesting in the original. It means to take men alive. You're going to take them alive. And what a blessed privilege it is to take men alive with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, they forsook all and followed him. Now when Peter forsook all to follow Christ, somebody could have run up and whispered in his ear, I know something you don't know. Your master is going to be crucified. You're going to be crucified upside down. Could have told that to Peter. No, they followed him. They followed him. Now, during training, Peter had many lapses. Sure, he made mistakes. But I'll tell you, the future, beloved, is your friend when Jesus is your Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus began here with this experience. And he trained Peter that Peter could trust him. Peter learned something that day. He learned that he could trust the Lord Jesus on a boat in the middle of a lake in the daytime. That's Luke chapter 5. Then in Luke chapter 8, Peter learned that he can trust the Lord Jesus in a boat in the middle of a lake in a storm at nighttime when he was asleep. That's Luke 8. And then in Matthew chapter 14, Peter learned further that he can trust the Lord in the middle of the lake in a storm without the boat. That's graduate school, friends. those waves that made everyone afraid were the very staircase of the Lord. He just came walking across them. My, what an experience. Our Lord can be trusted. He says to us, follow me. He doesn't tell us what the future holds. He just says, trust me. I hold the future. He says, follow me. You know, years later, Peter wrote those words in 1 Peter chapter 3, and a quotation, by the way, from the 34th Psalm. And if you read the 34th Psalm, and you read the 56th Psalm, you get the setting of when it was written by David. The 56th Psalm was written before the 34th. You see, they were both written. One was written in response to the other one. The 56th Psalm was written when David went over to the land of the Philistines and he pretended that he was a madman because he heard them say, David hath killed his or Saul hath killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And David was scared and he acted like he was insane. And they sent him away. And the 56th Psalm is a psalm he wrote. And when you read it, we find that David was scared. The 34th Psalm was written after he escaped. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And you can go down the list. And when you get down in that psalm, he says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. You see, beloved, God brings us into a crisis situation to knock out all the props from in under us that keep us from trusting him. You see, if there's sunshine, he'll make it dark. If it's in the boat, he'll take you out of the boat. That's what he did to Peter. He wants us to learn something about him that we didn't know before. Beloved, when you go through a crisis experience, the crisis doesn't make you. It only reveals what you are. And God wants to teach us something about him that we never knew before. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting some of your care upon him. No, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Do we believe that tonight? Our Lord can be trusted. In conclusion, I'd like to draw three lessons very quickly. Lesson number one, be careful, my friend, of becoming a comfortable Christian. Comfortable Christians never become conformable Christians. Be careful. Comfortable Christians stay on the same level. Conformable Christians grow. Question number two, or result number two. God calls us to follow him. Peter wrote, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, you'll never grow unless you go. And you will not go unless you forsake all and follow him. The third thing I want to leave with you is four questions. How do you respond to disappointment? How do you respond to authority? How do you respond to success? And how do you respond to the future? Let's pray. Our Father, we stand amazed at the way in which you teach, the incidents that you use. And while we know not what a day may bring forth, we cannot boast, but we can trust thee, we can follow thee. Deliver us, O God, from being conformed to this world, but rather may we be transformed in order that thy will, which is good and acceptable and perfect, that it may be magnified in our bodies by life or by death. Grant our God that we who know thee and love thee may rejoice exceedingly at your goodness and your grace. For Jesus' sake, amen. We need to sing a hymn in closing tonight. I've chosen it, all 33 in our hymn books. Bobby's going to have to lead it. 333. I want to read part of it. I want you to notice it. And I'm disappointed with one thing in this hymn book. It doesn't have an amen to sing at the close of this him. You'll notice each stanza. May the mind of Christ my Savior, may the Word of God dwell richly, may the peace of God my Father, may the love of Jesus fill me, may I run the race before me, may His beauty rest upon me. That's what I want. And how I respond to these four questions determines to a large extent how much and how greatly I desire the prayer of this hymn to be magnified and manifested in my life. Let's stand together and sing these five stanzas, shall we? You know it, Bobby, don't you? Come on, let's stand and sing it.